Hey, this is 1:22.
27.
27.
Yep. The scripture is from Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This was originally a vacation Bible school program. We're not going to cover everything that I have shared with you. That's why I shared it with you, so you can continue on from when whatever we cover, then you can go on and review. This information is, to me, fascinating because we've talked about God's family, right? If you've been listening to any of my presentations, where does family begin? Anybody know?
Yeah, the Garden of Eden.
The Garden of Eden, yes.
God blessed Adam and Eve, their marriage.
He said, "Be fruitful and multiply." Now, the Sabbath, where did it begin? First week, too.
Yes.
Actually, the family was first and Sabbath was second. But the Sabbath and the family were alike instituted in Eden. And in God's purpose, they are indissolubly linked together. What's that mean? That great big long word. You can't take them apart. They're not supposed to be divided. For, before I go on, the Sabbath was to be the outward symbol of the first law. And according to God, according to Jesus, the first commandment is to love God most, wasn't it? And he told Israel, "This shall be a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, that I am their God." As I choose to love God most, because he's first loved me, the Sabbath is the outward sign of that relationship with God. The family was God's form of governance for this earth. This earth was created, as we had learned early on in Walk to Emmaus, this earth was created as a unique, new and unique order of beings. Not the earth, but the humans. We are not angels. We can be holy, as angels are, but there's some unique capabilities. And one of them was what I use the term procreation. I don't have it in me to make life, but God has given us, we call it procreation, that one man and one woman unite together and can have children as God told them to be fruitful and multiply. So the Sabbath and the family, by the way, was the outside symbol or sign of love, learning to love others as we learn to love ourselves. God's plan for family was that that should take place in that, you might say, semi-protected atmosphere of home, where the family lives. The Sabbath and the family were alike instituted in Eden, and in God's purpose, they were indissolubly linked together. On this day, Sabbath, more than any other, it is possible for us to live the life of Eden. It was God's plan for the members of the family to be associated. What's associated mean? Work together in work and study, in worship and recreation. The father as priest of his household, and both father and mother as teachers and companions of their children. And so God intended that the family form of governance would be the earth form of governance. God designs that the families of earth shall be a symbol of what? The family in heaven. Christian homes established and conducted in accordance with God's plan are among his most effective agencies for the formation of Christian character and for the advancement of his work. I'd like to put P.S. here. I'm thankful for my Christian family, for my mother and father who loved God most. Yes, they made some mistakes. I had actually the blessing of a mother for 32 years. Well, I didn't know her that whole time because I was born. And then my stepmother, as some of you might remember, Mariel, for another 32 years. She was killed on their wedding anniversary. But anyway, I'm thankful for that Christian heritage. And God realizes, especially today as never before, that many families don't even know what the word family means. And so he has offered, he has instructed the church family to, you might say, augment what is going on in the physical families. The family relationship should be sanctifying in its influence. You know what sanctifying means? Or sanctify, you know what that word means?
Set apart.
Set apart. Also unifying. Complete, whole, entire at one. And so God's plan was that families, and there's a father and a mother and then children and God, come together as one. Not, that's their job. That's, no, to work together. Christian homes established and conducted in accordance with God's plan are a wonderful help in forming Christian character. Parents and children should unite in offering loving service to him who alone can keep human love pure and noble. And I'm grateful that as I think back over the past, and of course, we came to this area in 1960, lived in Lox, and then lived over here on Shelby, 2612 Shelby. I used to walk to school every day. I went to school here. But one thing in our home was non-negotiable. Even if we missed a meal, we had family worship, morning and evening worship. And sometimes we wondered, and I'm sure sometimes it got to be repetitious to us. And yet, Floyd told me one day, he told Mom, he says, Mom, I wanted to just go out and forget about God, but I couldn't, because I couldn't forget the morning and evening worships. And I decided to give my heart to God. I'm thankful. I did too give my heart to God, but that was before his speaking days. He was still in academy when he told Mom that. And she broke down in tears when he said that, because he had struggled, really. But anyway, we're thankful for our godly parents and our godly family. Firmness, decision, positive requirements, isn't that interesting, are essential in every family. Parents, take up your neglected responsibilities. Educate your children after God's plan, showing forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And one more quotation on family. The family relationship should be sanctifying in its influence, drawing together, becoming at one. Christian homes, established and conducted in accordance with God's plan, are a wonderful help in forming Christian character. Families here should be a symbol of the great family above. Parents and children should unite in offering loving service to Him alone, who alone can keep human love pure and noble. And so, we're going to look at a few aspects of family. We're not going to be able to cover everything I gave you, but I gave you the whole thing so you can hopefully take time to peruse, especially the latter parts. God created man. And then He says, male and female created He them. So the word man in general can include both, can it? He created man for Himself, to Himself as their life-giving head. And in a sense, the headship of the home is actually three in one. I firmly believe, I can't give you a lot of detail here, but I firmly believe, because we studied how that Satan had tried to break down the form of governance in heaven. He tried to do away with the law. Or that he said he could do a better job. I believe that when God came to this earth, He wanted to show more attributes about Himself through this three-in-one headship for family. Man loved God most, male. Then He loved His wife, the female, as Himself. The female loved God most and loved her husband as she loved herself, which creates a three-in-one headship. And I believe God was wanting to show, of course, He can still show it, but before sin, it would have been more perfect. But after, even after sin, the closer we come to God, the closer we come to one another, I believe we're still revealing attributes about God in ways that can't be done just by one or, you know, talking. Having completed the creation of this earth, He made the crowning act, and that was male and female. The crowning act of creation was when God created man, a man and a woman, male and female, in love. And then, what was the next thing that happened? Right after God created man and woman, and united them, He rested. It was not because He was tired, but because He was so happy with His created work. In fact, the whole universe, Job 38:7, the morning stars sang together, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So God's plan was to have the governance for this earth as a little bit of picture of His three-in-one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in heaven. One sad day, as we've learned, Adam and Eve chose another will. Sin, which is what choosing another will than God's will is, not only broke their relationship with God, they now no longer love God most because they were putting self in the place of God, but it broke that love bond between male and female, which is what Satan wanted, because it was going to show what his governance would do. When Adam and Eve chose Satan's will for them, he immediately claimed authority over them. God's no longer your three in one. So instead of male and female being at one through God's love, they became slaves to Satan's will, his self-centered will. And instead of loving each other as they love themselves and loving God most, they first of all became afraid of God. Do you remember what happened in the garden? They hid themselves. They were afraid. They lost their self-control that God had given to them. And when God said, Adam, what have you done? Oh, Eve made me do it. He was not only afraid, but he was ashamed of what he had done. So then he blamed Eve. Now, when God asked Eve what happened, she did some blaming too. Who'd she blame? The serpent made me do it. Yeah. And so fear, this kind of fear, not the godly fear of loving God most, fear, shame, and blame became the foundation principles of Satan's counterfeit form of governance for this earth. Not only were they afraid, and they were ashamed, and they were blaming, but in a sense, the whole form of governance got turned on its head in a way, or on its, anyway, it got messed up. And eventually, it became a hierarchical. For Satan wanted to be in charge, right? And male was under Satan. And then female became under male. And the children under the female. It was hierarchy. And Satan's basic form of governance is slavery, slave-master mentality. Now, God didn't want that, but Adam and Eve had chosen this change in the form of governance. And it was quite interesting in studying Genesis 3:16 under consequences, if you're following. God was describing the consequences. He wasn't charging that they had to do this, but he knew the effects of sin. And he said, well, to the man, he would eat by the sweat of his brow. And to the woman, your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. In the original Hebrew, which the Bible was written in, desire was quite interesting. The female sinner, if you please, would use primarily the mind trying to figure out how to get back the control she had lost. On the other hand, the male sinner would more often attempt to use power, force, that kind of attributes to regain control that he had lost. They both lost control. They both lost control. The problem is, these are self-based ways of trying to control. And sadly, it can never produce true love-based unity in a family. Because it's Satan's counterfeit. He doesn't want unity. He wants this hierarchy where he can be in control. Adam and Eve realized that they had lost what they had lost, some. The love, three in one, just as the Father, Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they're three in one with God and male and female loving experience. Satan went to work immediately to try to pervert not just Adam and Eve, but pervert what family was. That did not do away with the fact that God's original plan was his form of governance, family. And how do I know? Well, I don't have it right here, but when Jesus was here on earth, they came to him and was trying to get him to answer some questions. Well, you know, this and this and this. And it was about divorce and so on. And God said, Jesus said it from the beginning, it wasn't so. And then he briefly described his plan. So we know that when Jesus was on earth, the original plan was still there. God had never done away with his plan. It's just that when Adam and Eve and many, many others chose Satan's will, then they followed his form of governance. But when a person chooses to belong to the family of God, we call it born again, don't we? Part of God's plan for his church family is to bring them back and bring them into that love relationship, his form of family. They don't, God's plan was not that fear, and the kind of fear, this kind, not the fear of the Lord, and shame. Have you ever felt ashamed? Usually it's over something that happens that you've done or whatever. And God never, that was not God's original plan. And of course, blaming, I don't know if any of you have been blamed for something you didn't do, but those are Satan's counterfeit. Now, if that's the counterfeit, do you know what the original was? We're going to talk most of the rest of the time about the original. The original, God gave them before sin. God gave them love. In 6 days, God created all life upon this earth. On the seventh day, God gave love. He rested, he blessed, and he called it best. The Sabbath was a sign of eternal love. And as we allow that love to come into our hearts and we share it with others, we are learning to love others as we learn to love ourselves and as Jesus loved us. And that is the law of God. Now, when Adam and Eve chose another will, which was Satan's, well, any will other than God's will, it immediately caused fear, shame, and blame. I said love was the basis, but there's two effects of love that are immediately seen in God's plan. And I use the word joy and peace. Now, joy is something that is experienced between two minds. It can be your mind and God's mind, or your mind and another mind. Is when you experience that that other mind loves for you to be with them. You're special to them. You're the apple of their eye, so to speak. And that kind of joy, now God can, that's the biggest joy builder, is knowing that God loves for us to be with him. When Dwayne was alive, I would use him as my example because I know he loved me. But isn't just joy, it's peace. And peace is when you know that that other mind that loves for you to be with them, you can trust them. You can be at rest in their presence. That was when I would often use Duane. I would just sort of put my arms around him and put my head on his shoulder because I knew I could trust him and I knew he loved me. Well, that is the kind of love that God intended originally. When Adam and Eve chose another will, fear, shame, and blame not only broke their relationship with God, but it broke it with one another too, didn't it? God gave a promise. Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity. What's enmity? It's not coordination.
It's like hatred.
Yeah. A type of pulling apart. I don't want that. I will put enmity between thee, and this is Jesus here was speaking to Satan. I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman. Now, in this case, woman here represents all mankind, humankind, and between thy seed and her seed. It should have been him, but they King James translated it. He will bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So that we know this is a prophecy about Jesus. He was speaking to the snake that had tricked Adam and Eve, but he was really talking to the devil. But when a snake bites you, especially if it's on the foot, it oftentimes, even in Africa, we used charcoal. Put a charcoal on, and it would help to draw out the toxins of the snake. But when a head is crushed, is there any hope? No. And so when Jesus came, you might say he crushed the serpent's head, and there's no hope that Satan will be able to disturb us forever. When Adam and Eve chose to distrust God, Satan said, okay, I'm in charge of this earth. He usurped the authority that Adam had had. Adam was called the son of God. And in Job, we find that Satan, being an angelic being, was still going back and forth. We won't go into detail, but there's a council in heaven. And Satan claimed that he could sit for this earth. He was the representative for this earth. And God didn't argue with him. At least not until Jesus, after Jesus died, then Jesus took that rightful place. But Satan usurped the authority, and he established his counterfeit form of government here on earth, kingly power and slavery, based on the fear, force, and vaults. How are we going to learn what God's plan is? Most of us know what fear is and what false means and what force means and what, you know, all these counterfeits. We're too well acquainted with them. The ideal place is in family. And as family draws near to God, one thing I am grateful, 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 is that my family, my mom and dad, based our home morning and evening worship. We might miss supper, but we had worship. If we didn't get breakfast, we still had worship. We usually didn't miss meals, but it was top priority in our home. And sometimes we got, really? But I'm thankful for it. I really am. And so as we draw near, especially those who have physical families, we draw near God's original plan. It's a blessing. Now, if you were born to godly parents, and I'm thankful I was, then you were able to experience some of these things. But for those of us who didn't have that blessing or don't have our own home anymore, there are some suggestions. If you want to look at them, Mary, there's seven different suggestions. Beholding is the first one. Now, behold means to look, think, meditate, focus on, that kind of thing. And we're told by beholding, we become changed. When we look to Jesus, we talk about Jesus, we think of Jesus, he promises that he will change us to become like him. The second thing is we need to take time to study that relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of God. Then ask God to enable us to experience as much of that as we are able to through the Holy Spirit's power. Now, if you have a question, can you test it? Yes. Test all you learn by the Bible, asking for the Holy Spirit's counsel. Now, I do not expect God to always just boom, give an answer. But go back to the Word. So I have often in the past, when I had a question, Lord, would you reveal to me either another text, and I would ask for two, but I don't know that it's necessary. And he would often, within a period of time, lead me, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And I felt solidified in my understanding of what God. Now, sometimes there's four things that I depend on. Not depend on, but God has given us that we can use. The Word is number one. Then God has given us godly counselors, number two. Nature is God's lesson books. And it's very important that it's very good if we can spend time in nature. And Jesus did that. And experiences of life. Can you look back and see how God, we have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and his dealings in our past history. And so these areas, but if I have a question on some of the experiences of life and so on, God has been so kind as to help me to see through his Word. I don't know if I should tell you this, but I'm going to. I don't remember even the situation, but I had a question. I had a real question. Is this what God wants? And I didn't want to say no to God, but, you know, I wanted some assurance. And I was praying about it. Oh, that's another one. Prayer. Was searching the scriptures. It was a one-of-a-kind experience, and I've never had it since. I do not even remember what it was about. But I said, Lord, I claim that you will give me your will. And I heard, I guess it was in my mind, but it was as real as anything, a real ugly, and it was gone. Now, I don't profess, don't depend on that, but mine was opened up to what was wrong about it. And it's the only time it ever happened that way, and I haven't told very many people about it. But all I could say was, I guess the Lord permitted him to show that it wasn't, that permitted the devil to show it wasn't God's will. It was an ugly sound that I heard. I do not want to depend on that alone, because I need to test it by the Word and so on. But it was an interesting experience. So we need to test what we learn by the Bible. And I think I did see afterwards why it wasn't what God wanted me. Now, there's something else. As you share what God has done for you in your life, what happens? It strengthens you, as well as hopefully gives others experiences that they can learn from. And God wants us to be able to share, especially in the family of God, to encourage one another. You get something this week, sharing it will strengthen you in your relationship with Father. Now, there's two more things that I'm going to touch on. Okay. That is, choose God's will. God has given us the power of choice. Power of choice is not, well, I feel good today or I don't feel good. No. Choice. God has sacredly guarded your power to choose. And there's been a couple times when I, at the time, I didn't understand. I said, God, I don't know what you want, but I choose your will. I just made it. In fact, if I recall, it was verbal. I choose your will, Lord. I don't know what it is right now, but I choose your will. And when we keep that mindset, he will reveal his will to us. And it may be through the word. It may be through godly counsel. It may be through nature. God has spoken. But he will reveal, and just keep choosing God's will. And another thing that may not be as easy, choose to release anything in your life as God shows you it's not his will. What might some of those things be? Misunderstanding something, but he showed you something better, but you're holding on. Well, this is what I thought. Release it. What about lies that you've been brought up believing about God's plan for family? Oh, this is the way our family did it. But we're learning something better. Release it. God, I see this is not your will. I choose to give it to you. What about grudges? Oh, but so-and-so. Let it go. Forgive. Remember give for? I give God that grudge, that release. Release it to God, so that he can give me his love for the situation. Unforgiving spirit can tear you up. And it tear you apart from God too. Pain, I guess I'm not talking about physical pain here so much. But when others hurt us, especially if it's on purpose, either by family members or others who know that we want to follow God, release it to God. And if we have any attitudes that are not love-based, Father, please take this attitude and show me how to love in the situation that I've had this wrong attitude about. Keep yourself where the three great powers of heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, can be your efficiency. These powers work with the one who gives himself unreservedly to God. The strength of heaven is at the command of God's believing ones. The man who makes God his trust is barricaded by an impregnable wall. Does that sound good to you? It's impregnable to the devil, not impregnable to God, because we're on God's side, aren't we? Now, what about this word love? God so loved the world, but we use that love, well, in Hebrew or Greek, there's five different kinds of love. I'm not going to go into all those right now. But there is what we call divine love that encompasses all true love. The love, our feeling love, our sensual love, our passionate love, these are all not wrong, or they can be right, but God's love is like an umbrella taking them all in. The divine love emanating from Christ never destroys human love, but includes it. By it, human love is refined and purified, elevated and ennobled. Human love can never bear its precious fruit until it is united with the divine nature and trained to go heavenward. Jesus wants to see happy marriages, happy firesides, the warmth of true friendship and the pure love that bind the hearts of husband and wife are a foretaste of heaven. Isn't that wonderful? I am going to spend just a little bit longer. We're not going to be able to go into detail at all. We talked about God's plan for family, part two, if you're following along. We know that Adam and Eve became Satan's slave. And when Adam and Eve chose to accept and come back, Adam, Jesus had him offer the lamb, a symbol of the Lamb of God. Because God still loved them. As he showed them the rescue plan and they accepted it, they were born again, you might say, into the family of God. And the new birth experience will break Satan's slave master control in a person's life. So you don't have to be married physically to experience the love of God and the freedom that comes. Part two, if you're following along, let's look for just a moment at the foundation of family. We've talked about it, but this is a little diagram. I wish I had a better way of doing it. I don't like a triangle, but I haven't figured out how to do it better. I don't know if an oblong, because I don't like the corners. But anyway, the male is to love God most, love his wife as himself. The female is to love God most and to love her husband as herself. And this creates a three-in-one family headship. And they become one. There's no longer three, but they become one. That's God's plan. Now, when God told them, be fruitful and multiply, they were to unite together in love, produce family, children. When one man and one woman choose to begin a new family and unite with God doing that, their family has this three-in-one headship, and the children, as they are being brought up, first of all, they see it in their parents, what God is like. And as they grow older, the parents teach them to go beyond them and to see God in his fullness. But that comes with time, not something that just, boom, you can do it overnight. And there's steps. Now, quite interesting, I hope you'll be able to take time to look over this, because there's a basically, I think it's six or seven steps, maturity. And one thing about these maturity levels is when a baby's born, they can't just jump to become an elder. It is essential that a person walk or develop through each one of these levels. Many times, it has been proven that when children are having all kinds of emotional difficulties and trauma, one person was adult physically, but they weren't an adult. They weren't acting like an adult. And they were willing to get the help. And his therapist asked them if they'd be willing, and they were. They went back. Now, I don't know if this is the only way it can be done, but they went back and treated this person first as a baby. And then as a toddler. Well, they actually had them crawl for a while, even though they were an adult. And they walked through each of the steps, normal steps. And when they didn't take years to do this. It was a very shortened time. By the time they went through each one of these steps, the person's emotional problems were gone because they had missed something along this development line. And they've done this more than once. I'm not saying that everybody needs to go back and crawl, but still, it was fascinating, these studies, as they walked them back through and treated them at each level as though they were that level. And then as they would develop, they would treat them more and more adult until they got to adulthood, back to adulthood in this experiment. And it was amazing that many of the traumatic problems that they seemed to have just disappeared, because every individual needs each one of these maturity levels. Briefly, there is growing consensus that there may be preborn development along these lines. If there's been a lot of trauma before birth, it may well affect the child. In fact, it's almost a done deal that it does. But for the purpose of this lesson, we begin with baby, from the time a person's born. Often, anywhere from 2, 3, 4, it depends on the child, it depends on the circumstances. But a child, now in the Jewish culture, they actually would have a big celebration when a baby's born. And then I think it was Isaac, they were celebrating when he was weaned. Now that was considered going into childhood. And they had a big feast. Of course, Ishmael got huffy and anyway, you can read it in the Bible. But that was the feast of Isaac becoming a child. And then in the Jewish culture, they have what they call bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. When a child becomes, they call her an adult. I'm not sure the age. It may vary in different cultures. But that is considered adulthood. And then, of course, when a male and female get married, their first child, they become parents. When these are just generalities, things can change. But elder often was considered when the youngest child became an adult. then the parents were considered elder, both male and female. Physical maturity is good, but we also need to grow mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. God himself gave Adam a companion. He provided a help meet for him, a helper corresponding to him, one who was fitted to be his companion and who could be one with him. Not over and under, but one with him in love and sympathy. Eve was created from a rib taken from the side of Adam, signifying she was not to control him as the head, nor to be trampled under his feet as an inferior, but to stand by his side as an equal, to be loved and protected by him. A part of man, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, she was his second self, showing the close union and the affectionate attachment that should exist in this relation. For no man hath ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one. And so that was God's original plan, that both loving God supreme, and they became one. Because of Adam and Eve's choice, sin infected this world. But as Jesus said, his plan has never changed. And so God's final plan is to reunite family, the family of God. How many of you know that song? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. We're not going to have time to go on. Unless you want me to, I can. But God's Plan for Family, Part 3, talks about each one of these levels of development and some of the responsibilities, some of the privileges that go along with these developments. And the what God has intended, difficulties will arise. You will meet with obstacles. Look constantly to Jesus. When an emergency arises, ask, Lord, what shall I do now? If you refuse to storm or fret or scold, the Lord will show you the way through. He will help you to use the talent of speech in such a Christ-like way that the precious attributes of patience, comfort, and love will be brought in to the home. And part 4 talks more about the development of the family. I hope you'll have time to look it over. And then part 5 and 6 is more of a review of what we have done in the past about God's plan for redemption, the sanctuary, and the armor of God, which is our protection by him. So if you want to look it over, you're welcome to, but I would like to close with one at the end of lesson 3, if you're following. Often, it is our own attitude, the way we see things, the glasses that we wear. Often it is our own attitude, the atmosphere that surrounds ourselves. Did you know that you have an atmosphere around you? It's been proven scientifically, by the way. It's not just emotional or spiritual. The heart emits up to 6 feet, they call it aura or whatever. Now, the brain only goes out about 2 or 3 feet, I guess, because of the bones. But anyway, have you ever walked into a room and just felt a chill? There's an aura about certain people. Have you ever had the opposite happen? Walking, whoa, I feel welcome here. There is an atmosphere that surrounds each individual. And the atmosphere that surrounds ourselves, which determines what will be revealed to us in another. So we see through our own eyes, our own lens, what we think others should be, but it isn't always that way. And so we need to keep asking God to show us. And as I said, I think we better come to a close here. I am going to read one more. When the Spirit of the Lord works upon the hearts of the parents, their prayers and tears will come up before God. They will earnestly entreat and will receive grace and wisdom from heaven and will be able to work for their unconverted children. As this Spirit is manifest in the home, it will be brought into the church. And those who are home missionaries will also become agents for God in the church and in the world. The institutions which God has planted will be bear an entirely different mold. There's just so much, and I hope that and pray that you will be able to take time to peruse this. You can't do it all in one day, I don't think. But there is a lot of information, and God wants us to grow, not just in our physical home families, but to grow in our church family and learn His plan. Father in heaven, thank you so much that you have given us a blueprint. And as we learn more about you, you will enable us to be your children, your family here on earth, to show what you're really like. To you be the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.